God sure has been good to us, hasn't he? The Lord is good. And I want to talk to you about that. I want to preach to you a little bit about the goodness of the Lord. And I want to talk to you about thanksgiving, honor. There's honor in giving thanks. It's an honorable thing to do. I don't think there's anybody here that would deny that. It is an honorable thing. It's a scriptural thing, but it's an honorable thing. You know, the generation and the society that we live in has become very unthankful. And I've been studying the end times and the second coming of Christ for our Sunday morning messages, and it kind of keeps going back to ingratitude. You know, when we talk about signs of the times, we mention a lot of things. You know, we mention some of these deep theological prophecies of maybe the abomination of desolation and the rebuilding of the temple and the revealing of that man of sin. And all of those things are important, and they certainly are a part of the sign of the times. But you know, the thing that it just keeps coming up is unthankfulness. One of the signs of the times of the days just prior to the Lord's return is unthankfulness. I don't know that I've ever in my life seen a time where people were just so unthankful, ungrateful. And we live in we have a lot of names for it, but really it just comes down to being ungrateful. You know, some people call it privilege. Some people call it entitlement. Looking for handouts, whatever you want to call it, but it's a spirit of unthankfulness. And I certainly don't want that spirit to have a part in my life. But we have to guard against it, don't we? We do. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, give no place to the devil. And I just can't tell you how many individuals, Christians, families, that as a pastor over these years that I've ministered to and tried to help, that when I look back on it and I really give it thought, that's where it all begins to go downhill. When people become ungrateful, unthankful. And so don't think that something that you may would coin or term as insignificant as that really doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And so here's a psalm that says, if we would honor the Lord, then God will show up in our behalf. But when we take the blessings of the Lord for granted, well, then the Lord will chastise his people. And one of the things that the children of Israel, and I'm not going to probably not going to teach you anything tonight. It's just serving as a reminder. There's honor in thanksgiving. When we give thanks to God, it honors him. And I'm a better version of me when I'm honoring God. How about you? How about you? When you're honoring God, do you find yourself being a better version of you? Because you're acknowledging God and who God is and what God is doing in your life, instead of maybe taking credit or supposing in some way that you deserve the goodness that God displays in your life. In Psalm 106, if you have found your place there, I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm just going to read one verse of scripture. It's verse number 1. I'd ask you just to follow along, and I want to ask you a question. And I do not do this to shame or to guilt. I just want to ask you so you can examine your heart. How much time did you spend giving God thanks today? How much time did you spend in giving God thanks today? Let's pray. Father,
I pray you'd help us to be aware of the wiles of the enemy, and that we would give no place to the devil, and that our hearts would stay soft and tender, that we would be a thankful people and realize that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. I pray you'd bless this time together and speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you and help us and have us to be more of a people of thanksgiving. We are thankful. And God, I thank you for the people. I thank you for Fellowship Baptist Church. And there's a spirit of thanksgiving here. God, I pray you'd grow it. May it abound more and more. We ask you now that you would help us not to be a forgetful people, but to remember the source and the resource of all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm sorry. Yeah. I like that. I do. Waiting for instructions. That's good. We all need to learn that in life, don't we? We really do. Yeah, somebody said, except for my row. And, you know, we're sitting down whether he said sit down or not. That was on me. You've probably noticed that for some time now, a lot of my preaching or statements is kind of geared toward Thanksgiving or giving thanks. And I believe this. I believe when God is working in my heart, it comes out in my preaching. I really don't know that cannot happen. I really don't know that a person could teach on a regular basis and what he is experiencing, or she, if she's a teaching, what she's experiencing or he's experiencing in his own life will not come out in what he's teaching. Because as God works on us, and I think you teachers and those of you who teach, you'll have to agree, as God is working in my heart, I see it in every passage of Scripture that I read. You know, when God is dealing with me about being thankful, I can be reading in the Revelation, and thanksgiving will come out somehow. It's just amazing how God can do that. And so just bear with me. All right? Just bear with me. I really believe that the key to a successful life is found in some things I'm going to share with you tonight. And it's around Thanksgiving. It's around learning how to be a thankful person. I think it'll be the key in your life. It'll be the key in your marriage. I think it'll be the key in your parenting. I just think it'll be the key in your service to God, in your labor for a supervisor, or if you're over people, if you'll be thankful for the people that you supervise. I just think Thanksgiving is a key component to a lot that we do, a whole lot that we do in life. And I think it means a whole lot to God. As a matter of fact, as I've just been thumbing through some of the passages of Scripture about Thanksgiving, I'm amazed at how much God has to say about giving thanks. Positively. Now, there's also some negative mentions about unthankful people, but a lot of what God has to say is just give thanks. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, it's right here. I didn't even read, I don't think, in verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks. It's honorable to give thanks unto the Lord. It's not only biblical, it's just honorable. You know, when you're dealing with people, and let's take for children for an example, and those children are thankful, it just makes you want to continue to do something kind for them. If they're unthankful, it kind of makes you want to cut the supply off. Amen. I mean, it does. When you're serving someone and they're thankful for it, it makes you want to go the second mile. Now, I'm not saying that we should go the second mile based on a person being thankful or not. I'm just talking about what it does for your heart. It just warms your heart. When you see a child that's thankful, it just warms your heart, doesn't it? I'm not the only one that feels that way, am I? Am I? You feel that way? It just warms your heart. When you're working with people, dealing with people, and you see the spirit of thanksgiving, it just warms your heart. It just makes you want to do extra. Whereas the other end, you almost have to fight the flesh not to leave something out. Instead of give extra, you want to take away extra when they're not thankful. Now, in this psalm, the psalmist, as many of the psalms that deal with thanksgiving, he kind of goes back and he reflects over, and I'm going to just show you, and then I have about three thoughts out of verse number one that I'd like to bring to your attention that I think would help us this week, and I hope beyond this week, but in what's left of this week, to practice verse number one. Let's read it again. Praise ye the Lord. Did you do it today? Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Did you do it today? Did you remember this? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, there's three things that I wonder if you took part in these things. Did you praise God today? How long did you praise him? For what did you praise him? Did you give thanks to him today? For what did you give him thanks for? How long did that take of your day, my day? And then, did we reflect on the goodness of God? The goodness of God speaks of his character. And the mercy of God, it mentions that in verse 1, speaks of his compassion. Did you think on God's character today? You know, the God I serve, he sure is good. God is such a good God. Did you think about the mercies of God? God is such a compassionate God. All that I have, all that I am, is because of the goodness of God and the mercies of God. Amen? And so we need to be thinking on these things. And the devil doesn't want us to. Because the devil knows, listen, if I can keep God's people from praising him, then maybe they'll praise me. Or they'll praise themselves. Or praise the created instead of the creator. And the devil doesn't want God to receive any praise. The world doesn't either. Is that right? The world cares. Listen, the world's not going to praise him. If God's going to get any praise on this planet, it's going to come from folks like you and I. The world's not going to praise God. They curse him. I was reading some things today, and it's just shocking. I don't want to get into it. But there's this debate going on. I just want to mention it. You're probably aware of it. And it's really sickening. There's this debate going on about transgender people teaching in our schools, and people say it's okay, and I don't think it's okay. You say, well, yes, because you're a bigot. Well, you call me what you want to. I don't want to get into that, but I'm going to tell you what you'll find when you begin to look into this. You'll find a group of people that think that they'll call me a person of hate, but when I read some of the things that they write, they're filled with hatred. They're filled with hatred. They hate me because I don't think the way they think. They don't even know me. They don't know that I pray for lost souls. They don't know that I care for their soul. I want them to get converted. I want them to get their sin forgiven. Listen, I know what it is to be lost. I know what it is to be misguided. Maybe I was not misguided in the way, well, not maybe. I was not misguided in the way they are. But I had my flaws. I had my sin. Amen. And they just don't understand that. So they hate me because I do not agree with them. That's the basest form of hatred. And so when you look at our world and how it hates, and they always want to take it to your faith. And I'm not ashamed of that. But I do want to make a statement here. And agree with it or not, before I got saved, I knew better than some things. I just knew better. I knew some things just wasn't right. I know that you're either a male or a female. I didn't have to get saved to figure that out. And I'm just being honest with you. I'm not being mean now. You say, well, there you go. I'm just being honest with you. This is of the devil. It is a spiritual thing. And so if we don't praise God, please don't think the world's going to praise him. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not just speaking of that crowd. Listen, there's others outside of that would probably take the side that I take, or some of you, I hope all of you would take in this situation, but they're not going to praise God. They just stand where we do on that situation. Maybe they voted for the same president you and I voted for this past election. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to praise our God because they voted for the man we voted for to be our president. You understand that, right? So don't get confused. Conservative and Christian doesn't mean the same thing. I think you understand that. And I think somehow in our country that's gotten kind of mixed up. And it's just not so. And so if we don't praise God, who's going to praise him? I wonder this. I wonder, has the world quit praising him because the church has? I wonder how much of it is due to the fact that as Christians, we've quit praising God. We've kind of shut ourselves in and we've shut ourselves up and we've quit taking it public. And we've been intimidated by this crowd. Brethren, I'm calling on you, don't be intimidated. If you want to praise God in a restaurant, praise God in a restaurant. If you want to bow your head and pray in public, bow your head and pray in public. Now, don't do it to bring attention to yourself. Don't do it just to try to provoke someone. But if God's moving on your heart and you want to say amen, say amen. That's right. Don't let this crowd intimidate you. Don't do that. So why should we praise the Lord? Why should we give thanks to the Lord? We'll come back to that. Let me just point out a couple things here, and then we'll have a time of thanksgiving, and we'll pray. When you go down into verse number 6, the psalmist says, and I just want to give you kind of an overview here, and we'll come back and say a few things about verse 1. In verse 6 and 7, the psalmist said, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked them at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Here's a group of people. Do you see what just was said here to try to help us? Hey, be careful. God's working for you and with you and on you. Be mindful of that. Don't take that for granted. Don't think God owes you that. And I think what the psalmist is saying here is, we need to learn from our forefathers. And our fathers, he said in verse number 7, he said, they understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They didn't realize this is God working in our behalf. Amen? And when they did, they wouldn't thank him for it. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be made known, or to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and he goes on and he says, and then it says in verse number 12, and you can read this some of your own. I don't want to go through the entire psalm. I just want to give you an overview so you can see why it's honorable and it's beneficial for us to give thanks unto God. We benefit from it. We benefit from giving God honor and from giving God praise and for being a person of thanksgiving. We benefit from it. Notice what he said in verse number 12. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. When God was working in their behalf, they finally got it, and after he saved them, they finally, from Egypt, they said, oh yeah, that's right, that's God. Thank you, Lord, thank you. But now watch verse number 13. They soon forget his works. I mean, it's just kind of like me, if I'm not careful. And I've told you, and I mean this with every fiber of my being, I come up short in many areas. I do not want to come up short in this area. I do not want to come up short in this area. God help me to be mindful of his goodness in my life. And so they soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and God gave them, they tempted God in the desert, verse 14, verse number 15, God gave them the request, but he sent leanness in their soul. You see this? You see what's happening here? You see what happens when people will not praise God? You say, well, I'm going through a tough time. Are you praising God? So, well, you can't say that I'm going through a tough time because I'm not praising God. Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it might be, according to the Bible. And so the scripture says that, that he sent leanness. And then it says they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. It's talking about Korah and that crowd, Dathan, and the earth opened up and swallowed them up. Listen, when people will not obey God and keep his commandments and honor God and praise God, now you got to deal with God. Amen. And God says, I want to deal with you graciously. And I want to bless you. But now if you're not going to receive it, we can do this another way. And I realize how cocky and arrogant we can be. And I said we, as humans. But listen, brethren, God's in charge. And sometimes we think we are. And we're not in charge. And it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat up the road, that doesn't mean that we get more of it being in charge. It doesn't matter. God's in charge. And so he said, you know, they did this. And look at verse number 19. They made a calf. And you know all of these things. You know all of these things. Now, why did they do this? How did this psalm start out? They did this because they quit praising God. So then they turned to idols. Do you know that's what you'll do? That's what I'll do. When I quit praising God, I'll turn to idols. You say, preacher, you made a golden calf. There's people got, listen, there are folks who have all kinds of golden calves. All kinds of golden calves. May not be as big, may not look like the one that Aaron molted out of the jewelry that was brought to him. But people are worshiping idols all the time. I'm preaching right now, and there's folks looking on things, not even paying attention. You know what that is? That's idol worship. You know what you are? You're unthankful. I'm not being mean to you now. I'm just telling you straight. You won't even give homage. You won't even give reverence to the Word of God because you think you're okay. I'm here to tell you that. There's some folks sitting there sounding my voice. You're not okay. You're not okay. And there's some folks watching by live stream. You're not okay. You're not okay because you sit on a chair in the church and have a title in the church. Please don't think that makes you okay. Even if you're standing up here and you're me, being the pastor doesn't make me okay. Being a humble, submissive, attentive, obedient, God-fearing Christian is what will make you okay. Amen. So please wake up. Don't assume because, well, I'm here, aren't I? People make those kind of statements. That doesn't mean anything, just except for you're here. To show up bodily only, you might just be as well not to show up at all. Because now you're going to be held accountable for what you hear. So please don't take this lightly. Please. Understand that this is important. God is to be honored. And it wouldn't matter if it were me or Pastor BJ or another of our pastors or one of these men that's been called to preach were standing up here. When somebody breaks open this book, you give your undivided attention to it. Because Jesus said you're going to be judged out of the things in this book. So please, don't let the devil turn you aside now. Please, listen, I'm saying this with sincerity, with love in my heart. There's consequences, brethren. And there's people, I've seen them. I've stood by their bed who have turned their back, who have turned their face, who have turned their heart away from God and thought, well, it's okay, but it didn't turn out okay. All right? It didn't. And so the scripture says that these people, they, they, they change, in verse number 30, they change their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. You don't know how low you'll go. You don't know how low you'll go. I don't know how low I'll go if I quit praising God, if I quit giving God thanks, if I quit honoring God and giving Him alone the glory. You don't know how low you'll sink. You say, I'd never do that. Well, I hope you wouldn't, but now you don't know. And I don't know. Is that right, church? There's a devil. There's an enemy. And he's trying to get us to turn our attention on ourselves or on other things instead of this book right here. But this book is what's going to judge me. This book is what's going to judge me in the day of judgment. The things that are written in this book. Not what I think. Not what I think. Not some dogma or creed or covenant. The Word of God is our judge. He said in verse number 21, they forget God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. I wonder if I have. I can tell you there's been times in my life I have. Not a good me. Not a good me. I wonder if you have. Has any tears welled up in your eyes today? Not because you lost a bet, or you lost your wallet, or you lost a valuable, but because you were humbled at how good God's been to you. Have you even thought about that today? And again, I'm not trying to guilt you or judge you. I'm just saying, see what the devil can do? We'll go a full day, if we're not careful, a full week. And then some. And give little to no thought to all that God is to us and all that He has done for us. It's intentional. We have to be intentional with this. Go back to verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. We have to be told to do it. I can't tell you. It'd be interesting to know how many times in the Bible we're told to do this. God just has to keep telling us, listen, I'm telling you for your own good. Praise me. You're going to benefit from this. Give me honor. Thank me. The very next thing He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. God moved on this songwriter and said, hey, write him a song and tell him to praise me. It's for your good. You say, preacher, I don't see it. You're missing it. You're missing it. Life is just better when I'm praising God. Things just go along better when I'm honoring God. Amen. It's amazing. Perspective in life. Try it. If you haven't tried it recently, try it. Do it between now and Sunday. If it doesn't work, come to me and say, preacher, you told me to do this and I did it and it didn't change my perspective. You, starting right now, you praise God continuously. Continuously. Just praise Him. If something bad happens, find the good in it. I read the story of Charles Spurgeon, and Charles Spurgeon got robbed on a bus. And Charles Spurgeon had declared, I am going to praise God. I am going to give thanks to God for all things. God said in everything give thanks, and I'm going to give thanks in everything. And no sooner than he made that vow, that pledge, he was on a bus, and a guy robbed him. And he said, I got to find a way to praise God. Now, what can I thank God for? I hope I can remember these things. It's been a while since I've read this. I think the first thing he said that he praised God for is they took his belongings and not his life. And so he said, Lord, thank you that though they took my belongings, they didn't take my life. And then the second thing, I know that that was one of them, and I know that this was one of them. The second thing that he said is, I'm glad that though they took my belongings, I just so happened not to have much on me that day. Thank you, Lord. They didn't get much because I didn't have much. And then he said this. He said, And I know that this was the third one. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. I tell you, my memory's not that great. So if you just knew, you'd know I'm being real when I'm thanking God for helping me right now. He said, I'm thankful that I wasn't the robber, that I was the robbed. Pity the man that'll rob another. Lord, thank you that I'm not the robber. I'd rather be the robbed. And I can't even remember the fourth one. You see how you can find good in things if you just look? We can find good in things. Everything. The scripture says that they turn to idols, and I'm not gonna go through this other than to show you this. Look in verse 36 of Psalm 106. It says that they served their idols, which was a snare unto them. You know why they served their idols? They quit praising God. You think praising God's a snare to you? You know it's not. You know it's not. Praising God's not a snare to any of us. So God said, praise me and benefit from it. Be blessed from it. Let it change your perspective in life. Let it aid you and help you and mold you and make you into a better you. Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself praising and worshiping things that's going to be a snare to you. Verse number 37 says this, yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils. Can I encourage you to teach your children to be thankful? I'm going to give you three things because I'm going to come back to that one. This is really good. This psalm is good. I have to get verse 47 and 48 in there. Look at this. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name. God, save us. Don't let us be like the heathen. Help us to give thanks to you, Lord. That's what he's saying. God, don't let us be ungrateful. Don't let us fall in that category. Don't let us get there. You say, well, I'm not there, preacher. Well, like I said, how much time did we spend a day thanking God? So, well, I thanked him for my food. That's great. I'm serious. Praise the Lord. Some people don't even do that. Thirty. You think God deserves more thanks than that? I know you do. And he said, save us, Lord. He's basically saying, God, save us from ourselves. We're just not grateful people. You know, we're not. God, help us. Save us. In verse number 47, gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and triumph in thy praise. There's victory in praise. There's overcoming faith in praise. It's just a good thing for us to give thanks unto the Lord. Verse number 48 says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Then he said, now praise you the Lord. Amen. You see, this is where it's at. Let me give you three things here, and then we're going to share some praise, and we'll be done for tonight. Verse number one, the first thing I want you to notice, it says, praise you the Lord. Somebody raise your hand and tell me what that means. What's it mean to praise God? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. Somebody. Anybody. Just raise your hand and tell me. What does it mean to praise God? Okay. Lauren? To worship him. That's good. What's this man's name beside you, Jay? Does he have an answer? He raised his hand. What does it mean to praise God? What's his name, Jay? Amen. To be thankful. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. What's his name? Robert, did you say? Robert? Good answer. Somebody else had it. Did you have your hand up, Alan? Thankful. To praise God. Part of praise is being thankful. Somebody tell me something else. These are all good answers. Yes, Brother Philip. Absolutely. To make much of. To boast. To build up. To make shine. When you look up the word, I did it today because I wanted to know. Listen, if I'm going to praise God, I want to do it right. Amen. I want to do it the way God said do it. And when you look this word up, it means to make shine, to make much of, to boast, to worship, to be thankful. Yeah. Someone else. Yes, Brother Dan. Amen. I would say that would just be give God thanks for everything. Amen. Not just the big stuff. All things. All things. Brother John. Honor. That's one that wasn't mentioned, and that's exactly what why I titled this message. To give honor and thanksgiving, or thanksgiving and honor. Because that is exactly what it does. We give God honor when we praise Him. Listen, when you praise someone, when someone is worthy of praise, they're worthy of honor. If they're not worthy of honor, they're not worthy of praise. Yes, Brother Robert. Sacrifice. There is a sacrifice in thanksgiving. There's a sacrifice in honor. There's a sacrifice in praise. The Scripture teaches this. Brother James. Absolutely. To recount, if you couldn't hear James, to call him by his titles. His name, his namesake, the names of God speak of his character, and they speak of his characteristics and his attributes, and they identify the multiplicity of who God is and all that God is. It helps to identify that to us. These are ways to praise God. And he said, now you praise him. You praise God. One that, yes. Amen. Amen. Telling others. Actually, as I looked into that definition, sharing was one of the words for praise, for honor. How about give him the glory? Give him the glory. God, this is about you. This is not about me. It's not about really anybody but you. Amen. So, number one, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope that you will intentionally, thoughtfully praise God. Do it for the next 3 days. If it doesn't change your perspective, please come to me. Not so we can argue or debate. You know, I'll say, well, you know, maybe I can help you to... You know, tell me what you did. Let's take a look at it, because I'm telling you, brethren, I cannot even begin to tell you what praising God has done for my life. I used to be the most negative, the most down, I mean, just sarcastic, smart aleck, low life that there was. And when God saved me, he put a new song in my heart, even praise upon my lips. And I was taught as a young Christian, you praise God, son. You praise God. And as I began to hide God's word in my heart, what was in my heart began to come out of my mouth, and it was praise to God. And I'm not boasting now. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not much, but all that I am is by the grace of God. And my wife will tell you, I was just not a good person. And God put praise in my heart. And it's just changed my perspective on life. I love life. I used to hate it. I love people. I used to hate them. God has taken everything that I used to hate, and he's given me a different perspective about it. And I just want to praise him for it. God, praising God has done that for me. Giving God thanks has done that for me. He's done it for you too, right? Sure. And so praise him. The second thing, listen, that's an exhortation. Here's the psalmist, and what is he saying? He's saying, listen, I exhort you to praise God. Now let's look at an example. The best example that he could give in verse number one is, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. The best way I can praise God, according to this psalmist, is just be thankful. That's just an example. Just be thankful. Thankful for what, preacher? Oh, I don't know, everything. I mean, really. Yeah, we heard a bunch of things to be thankful for. And if you can't find something to be thankful for, look for it. It's there. It's there. You say, well, I don't know now, preacher. There's some things kind of tough. Well, I just believe that if we look, God will give us He'll give us something to be thankful for. I just believe that. I do. I could name you some tough things. And you've been through some tough things. We've all been through some tough things. Look back on it and see what God did and what God taught you and how God strengthened your faith and how God stretched your faith. And think about how God got near to you and close to you and drew you near to Him during those times of adversity and trials. And say, Lord, I thank you for it. I don't thank you for how sick I was. But I thank you that if it took that for you to do in my life what you did during that time or in the life of my loved one or loved ones, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And so he said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Are you doing that regularly? Listen, I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to listen carefully, and I'll be done here. Just give me about 5 minutes, okay? Now, some of you set your watch, and I'm serious. Be with me. Stay with me here, okay? If you're guilty of murmuring and complaining and fault-finding and bickering and tale-bearing and gossiping, it's because you're not thankful. Out of the same cistern can't come sweet water and bitter water. That's what James said in chapter 3. And see, all those things that I just mentioned, they used to come out of me. And from time to time, still can. And it's when I'm not praising God. I'm telling you, when you're praising God, it's hard to say, God, thank you for this beautiful day and go outside and say, man, it's hot out here. Why'd God let it get so hot? You know, right? Hey, you can't get sweet water and bitter water out of the same cistern. You just can't do it. And so you're either praising God for the day or you're complaining against it. You're either praising God for the job you have or you're murmuring against it. You're either praising God for your health and how good God's been to you, or you're complaining against it. I just wonder what you're doing. Because if you're not praising God and thanking God, I want to encourage you now. I'm encouraging you. I'm trying to anyway. I'm exhorting you. This is the life. This is where it's at. To praise God. To praise Him. I want to close with this. So he said this. He said, praise you the Lord. That's an exhortation. I know it's general. It's just a general exhortation. Hey, folks, praise the Lord. You say, we didn't say what to praise Him for. Well, I think in the next phrase here, he said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Praise Him by giving Him thanks. You say, well, he didn't say what to praise and give Him thanks for. Well, hold on. He's not through yet. Look at this. For. What am I going to praise Him for? What am I going to thank Him for? Well, let's see what the psalmist said. For He is good. Praise God, He is good. What if God wasn't good? What if God wasn't good? Rather than we'd have to crawl across the gravel parking lot tonight with our knees all eat up, the flesh eaten up, blood pouring out, we'd have to sacrifice our children to false gods, to Molech and some of the false gods of the devils. But God is good. He's always good. He's always only good. That's all God. He's intrinsically good. He doesn't know how to be anything else. He's just good through and through. So praise Him that He is. Aren't you glad that He is? Aren't you thankful that He is? I sure am. And I know you are too. And just look at all the good things that God has done. Look at all the good that God has done and is doing. See, I want to be on that side. I don't want to come down on the other side. Why did God let this happen? Why did God let that fire in California? Why did God let that tornado go through North Carolina? Why did God, you know, do... No, come on now. You listen close enough, those people never thank God for anything, but they blame God for everything. I don't want to come down on that side. And I know you don't either, but now we have to be careful, don't we? Because there's an enemy that wants to put those thoughts and those feelings in us to cause us to blame God and to not be thankful. Let me give you this last thought, and then we'll be done tonight. Verse number 1 says, "For he is good." So praise him because he's good. Praise him. Thank him because he's good. And then this, praise him because his mercy endureth forever. Man, think about that for a minute. If it just said because he's merciful, that'd be enough for me. But the psalmist said his mercy endureth forever. Forever. There's never a time that I go to God that he says, "I'm fresh out of mercy for you, son. You have exhausted my patience and my mercy." Never. Never. His mercy endureth forever. That right there just makes me want to say, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. His goodness, as I said earlier, speaks of his conduct. The conduct of our Lord is good. His mercy speaks of his compassion. The compassions of our Lord fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You praising God? Are you thanking him? We have so much to thank him for. Don't let the devil win, church. Don't let the devil win. Don't let the flesh win. No. No. Honor God in thanksgiving. I'm going to ask you to stand just for a moment. Say, Pastor, you have any idea when you're going to quit talking about Thanksgiving? Well, I don't. I really don't. Yeah, I just don't. Maybe a question that should be asked is, when are we going to be characterized as a thankful person? You know, I've been called a lot of things, and I'm not going to mention the bad stuff. I'm going to mention the good stuff. We don't have time for the bad stuff. Some people say, well, you know, the pastor, he's a good man. I appreciate that. I know what they're trying to say. Well, the pastor, he cares about people, and I appreciate that. I do. The pastor is a praying man. Well, I appreciate that. I know what people mean by that. You know what I'm saying. I don't own any of that. I hope you understand that. I don't believe a word of it because I know me better than you know me. But it sure would be nice to be known as my pastor. It's a thankful man. He's thankful. How do you want to be known? Everyone's going to be known by something. I think being known as a thankful man honors God. And that's my desire. What's your desire? What's your desire? Let's bow our heads together.